Hello, everybody. Dwayne McCachran here with the Community From Within podcast. I'm driving home from work as usual, and another warm day in my little Hyundai. But it's been a good day. Feel productive. And now thought I would try this out. Haven't really thought about anything today in particular, but thought I'd try and put something down here and see if I can make something of it. I was thinking about all this stuff about starting a business, and what kind of steps you need to take in order to be successful. And, well, just in general, no matter what it is you're going to do, let's say, just, you know, for example, you're going to do something, let's say, relatively basic and relatively small scale. I'll just use the dog treat business for me. It's a real life example that I'm doing, and I can share with you exactly how I'm going about it. So, I think I talked a little bit about how it all started. I have access to a spent grain from a local craft brewery, and I have a couple of dogs at home. And if you want to see my dogs, you can go to the website, goodboy.ca, goodboy.ca, Good Boy Dog Treats, goodboy.ca, and you can follow Smith and Wesson. Smith and Wesson are my dogs. They came with the names. They were, we got them from the SPCA. They were brothers. We're their third home, and in my opinion, they're wonderful dogs, and based on their personalities, had to make Smith our CFO of Good Boy. That's Chief Food Officer, and he takes his job very seriously. And Wesson is the CEO, Chief Excitement Officer, because he gets excited about literally everything. Very exciting, very excitable dog. But for Smith and Wesson, I was trying to think of what to do with some of that grain, take advantage of it, and, you know, maybe recoup some of my costs. So I don't know if I talked about this part before, so to get the, I apologize if I'm repeating myself. In order to get the grain from the brewery, I needed to get some kind of a bin for them to put the grain in. And I knew, you know, not one's going to work. It's a lot of grain for each brew. You know, you're talking anywhere from 200 to 400 pounds, maybe more, 600, 800 pounds of grain. Depends on which type of beer you're making. The darker the beer, the more grains you're going to use, generally speaking, I think. And maybe some batches are bigger than others, of course, depending on, you know, how the market's going. So, when I first, talked with the brewery people, we weren't sure how to go about it, but it came up relatively quick. I needed to get something. So I started by buying a bunch of what we call fish trays. I actually bought them from a local fishermen's cooperative. It's a large rectangular plastic bin with heavy plastic handles and they kind of, they, you can stack them on top of each other or turn them around and they fit into each other. So around here they're called fish trays or bait trays. They're about, say, 3 feet long by a foot and a half wide and a foot and a half deep. Fairly big bins. But I bought, I think I bought about 24 of them, roughly. Because I was trying to imagine the system I would set up. I would leave enough empty bins there, and when it was time to pick it up, come pick it up, and leave more empties. So the brewery always had the empty ones there when they needed them. And I try to rotate them back and forth. But the vessel where the grain comes out is, let's say, 4 feet off the ground, about a meter, 30 centimeters. And so in trying to get the grain out of the vessel into the bins, it ended up being kind of messy. So those bins were no good. Discussed it further, and we figured out that what might work best is, if you ever see those big compost bins, in certain municipalities where they have composting programs, there's those big plastic bins with a lid on them and wheels, and there's usually a little metal handle in the front, and you wheel them to the bin, the truck comes, actually grabs the handle, picks and dumps the bin, puts them back down. So you can get big bins like that. But the biggest ones and the strongest ones, with the heaviest duty wheels that I could find, they're over $100 a piece. And in order to make the system work, I knew I would need at least 6, if not 8 of them. So I ended up having to buy, I bought 6 of them altogether. I bought 4, then I bought 2 more, and I probably should get 2 more, because there's been times where it's been pretty tight, where I'd had some bins at home, found out they were going to be brewing soon, and had to get some empty ones down to make sure that they were covered. And I think I mentioned this before, the whole reason this started is because we raise pigs and chickens, and we have ducks, and we use the grain to supplement the feed for the animals. But of course, I get a little bit more than I need for just the animals. We've shared it with some friends who have pigs as well, and we use it to make, we add it to our compost pile at times. But there's other applications that I was looking at. And if you were to Google right now, uses for spent grain, one of the first things that pops up is dog treats. Spent grain dog treats. So the idea is, it's being done in other places. It just hasn't been done around here. So I wanted to look into that. And, you know, obviously, the cost of the bins. I should mention the fish tray bins I have, they actually still come in very useful. It cost me about $400 to buy all those or more. But when I get the big recycle bins, the compost bins home with the grain, if I need to empty them out to move the grain around the yard, the fish trays come in really handy for that. So it wasn't a total loss by getting them. Actually, they come in really handy. Because there's been times where, let's say, I get the bins home of grain, I need to get them emptied and possibly back to the brewery within a couple days. So I need somewhere to put it. Another thing that's come in handy is, the ice cream barns? Little ice cream shops on the side of the road, they sell ice cream cones. Usually those places will either sell or give away the big, they're roughly, 10 liters? No, more like 15 to 20 liter. No. 10 to 15 liter pails, I don't know how big they are. The ones I see usually are clear with a pink lid. Those things are great, but I use those sometimes. We'll We'll fill those up and freeze the grain so that it keeps for a long time. In case there's periods in between brews and I don't have access to it and I need something to supplement the feed for the pigs or the chickens. We have a couple deep freezers at home anyway because we have, of course, meat from the chickens and pigs and other things. So it actually helps with the efficiency of the freezers to keep them full. But anyway, where is it going with this? So there's all those costs involved, but of course, to drive to the brewery and back, that costs money. And sometimes there's been, you know, two or three trips a week, let's say, and you're talking roughly, from my house there, you're talking 40 kilometers, so it's about 80 kilometer trip. So you're talking about 30 miles round trip. The gas adds up. So I started making the dog treats in April as an experiment, tried them out. My dogs love them. And my wife and I were discussing the idea of starting a business and whether or not this would fly and how we should do it. Should we try to get it in stores? Should we try to get to a farmer's market? Could we sell them online? I am looking at the online option. I did some very preliminary investigating, and the cost to ship it were twice as much as the product itself. But I haven't dug any deeper than just looking online. I haven't actually taken a bag in, put it in a package, went to the post office, and got an actual price here and there. So I just based that on online estimates, which are usually incorrect. So, the dog treats, the dogs like them. I made a few more batches, and I packaged them, put a little label on them, a little test label. And I went out and handed them out to a number of friends. Here, try these. Give these to your dog. I gave them away as, you know, free samples to people. Let them know what I was thinking about doing. And you know, that this was an idea I'm thinking about maybe selling. Thinking about starting a business. What do you think? Let me know if your dog likes them. And everybody said the same thing. My dog loves these. My dog loves these. So, made the fateful decision to apply to the farmer's market. Was accepted. But of course, we applied late, so we were not considered a regular vendor. We didn't have a regular spot. We were considered casual, and we would be rotated among all the other casuals, and basically, I think, at the bottom of the list was my understanding. But the point being, we got a spot in one of the markets. So, okay, game on. Game on. Now I had to... What do I have to do? Luckily, many years ago, there's a period of time when I was unemployed and we needed some income. So my wife and I actually did work at we had a table as a vendor at the Mabu Farmers Market, coincidentally the same market. And back then, like, my wife would knit some things. I would actually learn to knit myself. I made scarves. I didn't learn to knit with needles, though. I learned to knit with those, you know, the round looms. You see those plastic round looms? They sell them at Walmart. You can see them on eBay and Amazon and stuff. But it's like it's round loom knitting or something they call it. Anyway, I made scarves. And I also, I would take scrap lumber from boards that I found, and I made wooden bookmarks. I made just little different things. I made lighthouse-shaped candle holders and painted them white and red like lighthouses. I made boats from driftwood. We did all sorts of crazy things. Not only that, we actually organized the market in Judik, And so in that one, we also, like, I sold, we had the coffee table. We sold coffee and snacks. We tried all sorts of things. But the point being, you know, luckily with that experience, I kind of had an understanding of what to do to set up for a market. So I'll try to go over that now. I mean, obviously, if you've ever been to a farmer's market, you can imagine what it looks like. First of all, you need a table or stands or a display of some kind to display your product. So I happen to have a small plastic folding table already. It folds right up, you can carry it. We had that already, so we got that. And a tablecloth, just out of a piece of material to cover the table. And in essence, that's all you need to start. You can bring a chair. I think they usually will provide a chair. That's all you need to start. Now, beyond that, I wanted something like a bigger, more attractive display. So I had a couple stands, wooden stands, that I modified, that basically just poles with legs to stand them up, and I modified it to make some braces across. I could hang and drape a black cloth, basically a big black piece of fabric that we had lying around. And it's like nylon material or something. I don't even know what material it is. It's a dark, soft-looking piece of fabric. Hang that over the stand, and I drilled two holes in the top. And I used basically a piece of 2x4, painted it black to match the black cloth, and then along that 2x4, I bought at the dollar store, you can find in there usually the craft aisle, wooden letters. They're what, 3 inches high wooden letters. I bought a few packs to make sure I had enough letters. They sell them for what, $3 a pack or something. And I got enough of the letter sets to make it say Good Boy Dog Treats. I painted them the same green color as my logo is, and glued them to the 2x4. And the 2x4 sticks, I used a couple metal rods. You could use wooden dowels, the same thing. I stuck them in through the 2x4 and into the stands, so that rests on top. I took it a little step further because I like my logo. It's just the shape of a dog with a smile on his face. I told you I made that from a logo software that I bought many years ago. So I found an old piece of plywood, and this is actually, I think it was like a headboard from an old bed. I found it lying around behind my workshop. So I took that. If you go on, there's a great website. I've loved this website. I've used it many times over the years. I'm driving right now, so I can't always remember, but I think it's called Block Posters, like blockposters.com or something like this. If you Google Block Posters, it should come up. But the way it is, you upload an image, and it will give you, you can create a PDF. It'll be multiple pages, but basically it'll blow your image up to like poster size, depending on almost as big as you want. So I blew this thing up so that it was 2 feet high and 3 feet long, my logo. Then you can actually print off all the pages. You can, the way I do it is carefully line the images up. Sometimes you have to cut the edges off the paper or fold them. Scotch tape the papers together until you have the whole image together. And then I cut out the outside perimeter, so that I have my logo, the shape of it, in paper form. Then I can use that to trace. You don't have to cut it out if you have tracing paper Or carbon paper. You can lay that underneath and just draw with a line. But I cut it out and I laid it on the piece of plywood, drew a line around it, and then I used a jigsaw to cut out the shape of the dog. And then all I did is I took some the same green color paint, painted it. Then after that dried, used some black paint to do the outline and the shape and the smile. And that's it. And then I used a piece of board and some screw nails to glue that to the 2x4 that says Good Boy Dog Treats. And I stick that up. So it's basically at the height of, you know, my head, the top of my head roughly. So I'm standing, you know, there. If you're walking through the market, you can see from quite a distance that there's this big green dog sticking out. It's very visible. It was very simple, very easy to do. And if you don't have the means, you don't have the tools for that sort of thing, I'm sure that either A, you must know somebody out there who would be more than willing to help you with that sort of thing, or depending on where you live, look around for, you know, A, you can find out how to use things like this on YouTube fairly easily, and B, there's tool sharing groups. A lot of cities nowadays have tool sharing, like tool libraries. Like, instead of checking out a book, you can check out a tool. If you can't borrow it from somebody or have somebody help you with it. But that's all it took. And then, so I had a really nice display. The background, the tablecloth on the table is a bright green, almost like my logo, and the black backdrop with the green letters, the green dog, it really stands out. And I'm telling you, I've gotten, out of everything that people have said to me at the market so far, nothing has been more consistent than how much people love the logo and the display. So I'm really, really happy about that. Thank you for those of you who had taken the time to share that information with me. So that's fine. What else? So I know not everybody has internet access out there. I know how difficult it can be in rural areas. Where I'm at home, where we live, we don't have any options but one. I cannot choose to use internet through a telephone line or a cable line. It just, there's no service in my area. The only option I have is satellite internet. So that's fine. But I guess, you know, what I'm saying is that when there's a lack of competition like that, sometimes it means you end up paying a little bit more. But without that, there are places that offer free Wi-Fi, free access. Libraries are a great resource for that. I've always been a big fan of libraries. We no longer have the CAP network in Nova Scotia anymore. I used to be a volunteer with CAP, which was Community Access Program. When, you know, I think late 90s, early 2000s, perhaps, when CAPs were in the heyday. CAP sites were in a lot of rural communities. They had basically, it was computer libraries where you come in and use computers and access the internet for free or for a small fee. Eventually, the government discontinued the program based on the fact that most people probably do have access to internet. But the good thing is a lot of libraries now still offer internet access. So, if you can get internet access, you can create a Facebook page, you can create your email address, you can create an Instagram account, you can create a Twitter account. These platforms, obviously, you know, depending on what you read online and elsewhere or here in the news, there's privacy issues. So be careful what personal information you do share. But if you're trying to promote your business, social media is a big tool these days. So these are all things that can be done for free. traditional media, let's say, like newspapers. So if you want to put an ad in a newspaper, like a local newspaper, you can get an ad the size of a business card for, you know, I'm going to say anywhere from $20 to $40. And in some cases, some people might say that's a little expensive, but you can make it worth your while by, you know, I think that sort of thing is really great if you want to do like a coupon or coupon. Or even just, you know, if you ever, I've seen this something years ago, I can't remember where, in a book, I think. If you're going to create an ad in the newspaper, do the little scissors with a dotted line around the border and put somewhere on it, you know, cut this out and put it on your fridge. Do something to try and motivate the person to cut it out and keep it or use it. Even better if you put it on, you know, bring this coupon for a 50 cent discount or $1 off or a free, you know, whatever. And like a free sample. That's a great way to take advantage of, you know, you can make your $30 go a long way. And further than that, you know, if you're starting a new business and you want to get the word out, especially the small local newspapers, and I'll shout out again to the Reporter in Port Hawkesbury and the Inverness Oran in Inverness, two great local newspapers that we're very lucky to have here in our region. They're more than willing to, you know, come out and talk to you and do a story on what you're up to. When I did the coffee shop project many years ago, the Oran came out and they did a little story on me. I had my picture and this and that and a little write-up about the business. So maybe if you don't have enough room for advertising yet, you can let them know there's something happening here in the community. Opportunity for a story. And they may go for it. Television. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever been involved with any kind of television advertising on any major networks or anything like that. But coincidentally, I did once work managing a community cable television station. And community cable television, although cable is not as, you know, not as widespread in some areas anymore, where it does exist, I think people do watch it and they do check things out, because I would put ads on for local businesses and I would get feedback. People would tell me that they saw things. Random people come up to me and point out mistakes in the ads if I had one. And nothing to do with their own business. So people do see that sort of thing. And a community cable television channel may very well be able to do advertising for you at a very, very reasonable cost. So if you have any kind of a budget for advertising at all, or you're looking to come up with an idea to get something noticed out there, it's worth talking to the people anyway. And of course, there's local radio stations. Same idea. Smaller community radio stations, especially. Same with the newspapers. Maybe you can't afford advertising, but maybe you let them know there's something exciting happening and you'd like to come in and talk to them about it with your new business. You never know. It's worth a shot. What gets people's attention in advertising is something different, something unique, something, you know, obviously. I mean, there's entire... Think about, I mentioned before, I'm a big fan of Terry O'Reilly's show on CBC called Under the Influence. It's all about marketing. It's all about innovative and funny and witty commercials and advertising campaigns by companies, and failures, massive failures by companies. It's a very enjoyable show, and also available in podcast form. So, yeah, no, I think I said this before, you know, advertising is important because, you know, if it wasn't important, you wouldn't see, things like television, newspapers, all these things, they might not exist without advertising. And companies simply would not do it. Why would they spend all that money if it wasn't worth it? It's almost like, you know, they say in politics, right? In politics, you know, you get your message out. Repeat, repeat, repeat. You drive the message. That's why you hear, it gets tiring when you hear a politician say the same thing over and over again. Or you hear all the politicians in the same party say the same thing. They're repeating the same line. And why are they doing that? Because it works. It works. Keep hammering the message home over time. Repeat, repeat, repeat. It works. And that's what advertising is. Companies are repeatedly hammering you with their message to drive it into your head to come buy our product. And I'm sorry to tell you that one way or another, if you're going to have a business, you're going to sell a product or a service, you need to basically do the same thing. Maybe not have, you don't have to be annoying about it. I mean, if you have a business or a service that you're selling and you get by on word of mouth alone and you're happy with the amount of business you're doing and you feel successful, if you're not spending money on advertising in order to do that, you probably have the best scenario possible. But if you don't have enough business so that you're content and happy with how things are going, you're going to have to get the message out there. All this, this idea stemmed from, I looked over on the seat beside me as I'm driving here, and I have a package of business cards. It's actually a package of the, do-it-yourself business cards. At some point, I'd like to go to one of the local print shops and get some business cards made up. But for now, the last few markets, I have had a couple people ask me for a business card. And so I need to get something made up, if for no other reason than to have something to hand out. What spurred this whole idea of what to talk about, I guess, is about getting the message out and advertising and all this, was the package that I bought is what you call clean edge business cards. Because I don't know if you've ever seen this or done this before. I have. You can get just, there's other kinds that you get, printable business cards. There's a template, you make it up and you print it. But if they're perforated, you can see the paper fibers around the edges, or the little bumps sometimes. And personally, I like the clean edge, like smooth, it looks professionally cut version. But what I wanted to say is, you know, sometimes you can't afford to go for the clean edge look. You have no choice but to get the perforated edge ones. I remember years ago I bought a pack of those for something I was working on at the dollar store. And they were so hard to tear. Like, I remember a good percentage of them actually ripped on me when I was trying to tear them apart. Excuse me. Yeah, a good percentage of the cards actually ripped apart on me because it was a cheap product. But I was able to make enough business cards to get me through the whatever project I was using them for. I guess the point is sometimes it's better to have something than nothing. Maybe sometimes it's not. But the more professional looking you can do something, in my opinion, the better. But, you know, if you don't have that, just, you know, one thing you can, if nothing else from like a dollar store, would be like you can sometimes find little packs of cardstock. And print them off nicely and just take the time to sit down with a nice sharp pair of scissors and cut them out and cut your own cards out of that carefully, just enough to get you through the upcoming market, and that works. When you're first starting out a business, you know, I don't think the general public cares so much about things like that. I think what the you know, this again, my opinion, folks, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, please go to communityfromwithin.com and use the contact form there to send me a message. Please let me know if I'm wrong here. But in my opinion, like, this is what I imagine for myself in this business is, okay, the last couple markets I didn't have a business card, but next time I'm there, I'm going to have a business card. I'm going to have a nice looking business card. If the first couple I had a basic card that I cut out myself, or the ones that perforated, I would hope that down the road, my next step up would be to go for the clean edge ones. Do you know what I mean? I feel like people want to see improvement in the business. Maybe that's my own expectation, but I guess, you know, that's what I see, because that comes from me. You know, when I look at businesses that are successful, I'm even talking small little businesses here, one and two person businesses in some cases. When you see it start out a certain way and progress, and they're just getting better and better and improving and investing in their own business. When you see somebody investing in their own business and improving it, making it look nicer and making it look better, getting better equipment, whatever it is, that makes you as a consumer or as a customer, as a patron of that business, feel better about that. Does that make sense? You don't have to go all out all the time, but just little things. So, for example, the first two markets, I talked about this display I have. I try to make it nice. If you go to goodboy.ca, I think there's some pictures there on the Instagram account. It's also at Instagram, Good Boy Company. So if you follow them, you'll see a lot of the pictures are of Smith and Wesson, but I have a couple there about Good Boy Company. I think there's one of the display. If not, I'll make sure I put one up. But you'll see. I'll put the before and after. There you go. I'll put the before and after. So the before was the table set up with the dog treats and the black background. But then I'll show you the next one, which was last weekend. See, I had a request a couple weeks ago for a dog leash. Do you make leashes? No, but the first thing that goes through my mind is I probably could. It got me thinking. I looked it up online and tried to see, is this something that's possible? So I went out. I invested a little money in some rope, some little clips and carabiners and things like that. And I played around with it and I came up with some leashes. So I made a bunch, very colorful, bright greens and pinks and blues and greens. I said green twice there, didn't I? There's two shades of green, that's why. Dark green and a lime green. Anyway, so below the sign that says Good Boy Dog Treats, down about half, two-thirds of the way up along that black curtain, I strung a very dark piece of old clothesline. It's like dark green colored coating, very dark against the black, so you hardly notice it. And then I hung all the leashes. I think I made about 15 or 16 of them. And boom! Wow! What a difference! It really grabs your eye, all those colors against the black background. And again, this Sunday, a number of more comments from people saying how much they love the display, they like the colors. I didn't sell any dog leashes. I had one person ask me if I make dog collars. I don't know. Not yet. Maybe someday. Not yet. Not yet. One of the most common requests I actually get is kitty treats. Do I make cat treats? And unlike when you Google uses for spent grain and you get a lot of recipes for dog treats, I see nothing for cat treats, with spent grain at least. But that does not deter me. I will be experimenting soon. We have two cats at home and they're going to be my guinea pigs. I have a few ideas. So I will try that. I'll let you know how it goes. All in good time. Anyway, continuous improvement, I think, is the moral of the story there. If you start out with a hand-painted sign on the side of the road, that's fantastic if it does the job, but if your business makes some money down the road, consider, you know, improving that. Maybe a professionally made sign. Maybe you don't have to have somebody professionally make it right away. Maybe you can, you know, find a piece of coroplast or metal or wood and paint it and get, you know, crisp edge vinyl lettering somewhere and put that on. Or a stencil. There's, you know, my point is continuous improvement. Continuous improvement. Another thing not to discount is promotional items. Things that you give away to people with your logo on them. With the green, it's like a lime colored green logo for Good Boy. One day I was actually in a shop, I found some blank baseball caps. Basically baseball caps that have nothing on them, no markings. And they're a nice dark green that actually match exactly the dark green shirt I was planning to wear. So I had that, and I had left over somewhere, but you can get it at various shops. There's you print out the sheet with your picture, and you can iron it on to like a t-shirt or something. So I made a logo, iron-on, basically cut out of my dog logo, and I ironed it onto this ball cap, which was kind of awkward in a way, because the ball cap's not necessarily flat, so it took a little bit of finagling. But I made this dark green hat with a lime green logo on it, and even that, I've had a number of people compliment me on the hat, and I've had several people ask me for one. And if somebody asks you for something like that, they want to basically give you free advertising, wear your logo around for you. Don't discount that. So, probably this coming weekend, I'm going to get some more of those ball caps and print out some more logos, and I'm going to be doing some ironing. Trying to think what else. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but, you know, the idea of cross-promotion. I promote Good Boy Dog Treats on this podcast, And if you go to goodboy.ca, you'll see at the bottom there's a little thing there that says Good Boy Dog Treats is proud to sponsor the Community From Within podcast, and a link to the website, communityfromwithin.com. And I'm going to make a sign for the next market with the logo and symbol for the podcast to say the exact same thing. Good Boy Dog Treats is proud to sponsor the Community From Within podcast, and put that out there, and maybe hopefully drive some more people to listen to this. Some people might say that's blatant. Well, hell yeah. They're both my own projects. I'm going to do that. Why wouldn't I? If you're absolutely sick of it, let me know, though. I'm talking too much, I think. Yeah, getting long-winded today. Trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's it. I mean, there's much more, obviously. A great resource, I'll tell you this. If you get a chance, listen to the CBC program Under the Influence with Terry O'Reilly. Go to, I think it's available on Apple Podcasts, probably on the CBC site, but you can find that show as well in podcast form. And that's really entertaining, but, they talk about marketing programs and advertising and things that have worked in the past for companies and things that don't. It's entertaining, but also in many ways motivational. If you're trying to think of ways to, trying to think of ideas and ways to motivate yourself for your own business. But another book, a book that was really influential on me many, many years ago, it's called Guerrilla Marketing. Guerrilla as in G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A. Guerrilla Marketing. I think there's been several editions of that book and maybe some spin-off books from it. I think, the original, Guerrilla Marketing. And I'm really sorry I can't remember the authors right now as I'm driving. Levin, maybe? Anyway. That book was fantastic. Give you an idea. Just one thing I'll always remember from that. I remember it was some business advertising in maybe a local paper or something. This Saturday, 10 a.m., they're having a cat shoot. Cat shoot. That's all it really said. Or maybe it said, come down and shoot some cats. Well, and I'm paraphrasing here from the book, but, as you imagine, people were up in arms, the PETA people and animal rights activists and community in general, they all showed up Saturday to protest this thing. But what it really was the company had set up a booth, they had a couple people dressed up in cat costumes, and you could pay, $5 or something, and you get, 25 shots with a paintball gun. And the proceeds were going to a local animal shelter. So, this marketing campaign, they riled everybody up. They got a lot of publicity for it before it even happened. And then, boom, when it happened, it was totally on its head from what people thought it was. People were really excited and happy about it. They loved it. And it, I think, the proceeds, or part of the proceeds, went to the animal shelter, or whatever it was, the Cat Rescue Society, something. It's been many years since I read the book. But, it garnished a lot of goodwill for the company as well. But that book, Guerrilla Marketing, if you can't find it, if you can't buy it, ask your local library to get it for you if they don't already have a copy. And that's worth a read. If you're involved in any kind of business whatsoever, or marketing, that's a fantastic book for generating ideas and motivating it. So, that's it. Thank you all for listening. Go to goodboy.ca to find out where we are next, to buy your doggos some dog treats. And stay tuned, you might see some cat treats there too soon. And as always, go to communityfromwithin.com, use the contact form to get a hold of me. Check out the blog posts, and the podcast here is also available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. Thanks, everybody. Have a nice day.